Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Melissa Feliciana, and this is my daughter, Luna Feliciana. And we're going to tell you a few stories about our family today. As I was gathering some of these family stories to share today, I realized that my favorite family tale is appropriately a little bit Halloween and a little bit Thanksgiving. My parents, Drs. Christina and Hector Feliciano, first arrived to the U.S. from the Philippines in June of 1967. My older brother, Bernardo, that's an important name for this speech, barely 2 months old, was left in the care of our grandparents, while our parents forged a new life in America via the Exchange Visitors Foreign Medical Graduates Program. My parents followed their mentor, my Uncle Sammy, to Baltimore, a city that was soon engulfed in uprising over the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. I was the first person in my family born an American citizen. My mother had been intent on leaving the Philippines, which felt too cramped for her own aspirations. One of the family stories goes, that she was so driven to get to the U.S. on this medical exchange program that my father, ever the troublemaker, decided to kid around with her. All candidates for the program were required to pass a qualifying exam. When my mother finished her exam, she found my father outside playing basketball. She asked him if he had taken the exam yet, and he answered, "What exam?" At that point, my mother burst into tears, and my father had to explain that he had finished early because the test was so easy. My mother is so thoroughly American at this point that she has no desire to return to the Philippines. My mother's fierce independence and generally rebellious nature comes from her maternal grandfather, the infamous Don Simeon Bernardo. My mother's Lolo, or grandfather, Simeon, is the subject of a fascinating urban legend, complete with his own Wikipedia page. He was known for his oppositional personality and his penchant for challenging the status quo. He was imprisoned and tortured by the Spanish regime for openly supporting the radical reformer, Philippine nationalist, Jose Rizal. Our family's connection to Unitarian Universalist thought in the Philippines is that Lolo Simeon strongly supported the first independent church of the Philippines called the Agumpayan Church, established in 1902 and named after its first bishop, Gregorio Agumpay. Jose Rizal, the national hero of the Philippines, martyred in 1896, was the first canonized saint of the Agumpayan Church. My mother was born after Lolo Simeon's death in 1934, but she grew up hearing family stories about this famous or infamous relative. Instead of eating fish on Fridays like a good Catholic, he hosted lechon, or roasted pig feasts, at his home across the street from the local Catholic church. He encouraged neighbors to play sima, or a native Philippine sport similar to hakisan, instead of honoring the Sabbath. This was my great-grandfather's way of expressing his opposition to Spanish Roman Catholic tyranny. The ultimate expression, however, of Lolo Simeon's dislike of the Catholic Church was the scandalous statue that he chose for his tomb. The figures of the Archangel St. Michael and Lucifer, with Lucifer pinning St. Michael down instead of the traditional pose of St. Michael defeating the devil. Just Google Simeon Bernardo, and you will see his frightening demon of Malabon Cemetery atop the terrified St. Michael, locked in a cage to protect it from vandalism. Or, so they say, to prevent the devil from flying out at night to torment people. Contrary to popular belief, Lolo Simeon was not a Satanist. His message was an intentional call to action. The statue was erected to remind us all that darkness was currently prevailing over goodness. mankind must work harder to defeat evil in this world. According to family legend, and with the optimism of Unitarian Universalism, the figures of St. Michael and Lucifer on Lolo Simeon's grave could switch positions once people take real action to ensure that love will conquer evil.
Thanks to my great-great-grandfather Simeon, many members of my family have continued to uphold civil rights and secure better services for the neglected members of our human family. Lola treated U.S. veterans at the Fort Howard VA for over 30 years, and Lolo provided excellent medical care in a small working-class town. He was also a leader in the Theosophical Society of Maryland. Uncle Randy works in civil rights compliance in Davis, California, and my mom is committed to fighting against the criminalization and abuse of children in Maryland. She is also bringing people together in dialogues on race and ethnicity here at our church. Auntie Katrina is a dedicated organizer for the rights of Philippine migrant workers. At Typhoon Haiyan, devastated the central Philippines in November 2013, taking more than 6,300 lives. Auntie Katrina and my mom collaborated with Jim Galen of the Hawkins Symphony Orchestra to raise money for relief efforts. She connected the orchestra with Task Force Haiyan, a joint project of the National Alliance for Filipino Concerns, NAFCON, and the International Coalition for Human Rights in the Philippines. In memory of the typhoon victims, my mom's orchestra, together with choirs of Hopkins and Goucher and local soloists, performed the Verdi Requiem to the full house. As Auntie Katrina says, Typhoon Haiyan was a wake-up call that drew attention to decades of government corruption in the Philippines. NAFCON, the most powerful stateside critic of the Philippine government, raised more than $1 million from 49 U.S. states and over 30 countries worldwide to pay in relief. As Thanksgiving approaches, we are especially grateful for those who came before us like Lolo Simeon, carrying the torch of freedom, equality, and dignity for all people, and constantly reminding us that our struggle for social justice continues. We honor the profound connections we have in the past, present, and future with Unitarian Universalists and are thankful for the opportunity to break bread with kindred spirits of progress.
Promoting economic justice, bolstering environmental justice, and protecting rights at risk. UUFC works to deliver aid with dignity and advances the rights of people left behind during humanitarian crises, which include forgotten conflicts, natural disasters, and forced migration. Three primary initiatives of the UUFC include Choose Compassionate Consumption, which engages people in owning their power as values-driven consumers, Acting to Protect Workers' Rights, and joining the movement for economic justice. The second is Sustainable Recovery in Haiti, where since the 2010 earthquakes, UUSC has made a long-term commitment to a recovery that advances justice for Haitians, projects that members of this congregation have witnessed firsthand and will again. And third, the human right to water, ensuring that all people, no matter their skin color or bank account, have access to safe, affordable water. All as the refugee crisis in Syria and Europe deepens and immigration issues become more complex, UUSC is currently finding partners with which to address delivering aid with dignity and to advance personal rights.
Guest at your table is the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee's annual education and fundraising effort. It's been going on for 40 years. As part of this year's Guest at Your Table tradition, the highlighted stories are about an enduring commitment to helping refugees and other displaced people. We are reminded that when the service committee was organized 75 years ago, at the beginning of World War II, Martha and Wesel Sharp helped refugees escape war-torn Europe. Harry Pan, wrong answer. Typhoon Haiyan, the most powerful storm to make landfall in recorded history, cut a devastating path through the Philippines, killing 7,000 people, leveling entire villages, and displacing 6 million people. The UUSC has long understood that healing the hidden wounds of debilitating trauma to an entire population is one of the most important and difficult challenges in responding to any large-scale humanitarian disaster. In the Philippines, a partnership with the nonprofit Trauma Resource Institute, UUSC conducted a series of train-the-trainer workshops in the community resiliency model, which gives first responders and other caregivers the tools they need to help displaced communities recover from the emotional trauma that accompanies disaster. Irish Grace Ramirez is a public health nurse in the Philippines. Irish Grace's UUSC-provided training gave her the strength to maintain personal resiliency in the face of great suffering and the ability to empathize with the people of shattered communities while she trained over 100 community health workers.
I want to point out to you that we have a basket here, and we hope that every family will take home the booklet here that has different stories about people that the UU Service Committee is working in partnership with, including Irish Grace Ramirez. And again, we have this at holiday time, a guest at your table offering. And we hope that there'll be an opportunity. You know, I will tell you that there was a house I went to just to visit for normal, and the child walked up to me and asked me if I had a contribution to make to the UUSC project. And so this is a place that we each week can, as a family, think about the ways we work in the world and also show tangibly a way that we support the projects of the service community. And I hope that every family will indeed take home a bank and a booklet that you might share these in your family times. So this congregation has a tradition of reaching out in many ways to its members, to its community, and to the world. We are connected in community and committed to helping to sustain life on our home planet. Over 60 members of this congregation are members of the service committee, and their names are listed in the order of service today. And we're hoping that by the time we do this again in March, that many more people will have signed on to become members of the service committee, both to support it financially, but also to get on their email list so that you are aware of the action items that they send us from time to time. We want to say thank you to the 60-plus members who are already part of the 60-plus members of this congregation who are already members of the service committee. And please stop by the Social Action Clearinghouse during coffee table during coffee hour to ask more questions about these, to receive your box if you don't get it on the, at the door on the way out, to learn more and to make a difference.
And as an educator, I'm looking forward to having families think about a daily sharing ritual and practice of our values at home. And after the beginning of the year, we'll bring the boxes back and see what we've done.
And as a matter of fact, on January 10th, we may have a chance for us to share some stories from families about things that you may have learned during this 6 week period, or some of the stories that were shared around the table. We'd love to make an opportunity for that, and so we'll work on that a little more in the beginning of January. But we're here to share the bread, this great symbol of the thing that sustains people day to day, which for my family was bread, for another family might be rice, for the guys in my home it's tortillas, but we bring together breads that symbolize the richness of who we are as a people and the commonality that we have, that all of us depend on food to live our lives. I want to thank the members of the congregation who have brought bread from their family traditions, and we'll see what they like. I'm looking forward to it. I want to thank Barbara Svoboda and Judy Tenenbaum for gathering things at the door. Kathleen Flayhive again for all of the details of preparing the bread, which is going to be distributed. And so now's the time. I'd love to invite the children of our congregation to please go to the back of the sanctuary and to get a basket of bread, and we'll just bring them forward. Yes. I know there are lots of baskets. And you can come right up. And I'm going to ask you not to go very far. One. Can you put some on the table? The blessing is also for all the people in this place. there's a special optical illusion that happens in this place because there's this guy up there sitting at a table, the one with the big hair in the middle. That's Jesus. He's our brother. Alright? And he's sitting at a table with his close friends, and guess what? So are we. All of us are sitting on this side of the table. There's one table that invites us all to be present with one another because we are one human family. So can we take a moment and be in the spirit of prayer and thanksgiving? The bread we share this day is sacred. Grain, gift of the earth, gives life. The friendships that we share this day is sacred. All gatherings where people meet and touch and celebrate life. The laughter we share this day, did you know this word? The laughter we share this day is sacred. Joy and sorrow that rise from life are springs of life. The desire to reach out to someone is sacred. For sharing with others enfolds all with love. And the stillness, that we share this day is sacred. In this peace is a haven for the spirit which nourishes life. For bread, for friends, for joy and sorrow, for expanding love, for the comfort of quietness, let us ever be grateful and caring. And shall we say together, Amen. Now I invite you to take this bread, and as the choir and our orchestra and our soloists sing Panis Angelicus, perform Panis Angelicus. I love us to share the bread with people. And don't be afraid, take more than